when the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost. We spoke a little bit about this last week. The disciples began to speak in tongues. They began to speak in foreign languages, languages that the visitors to Jerusalem, who had all come for the feast that was taking place at Jerusalem at that time, they could all hear the disciples speaking in their own tongues, in their own languages. And they heard, we're told, the wonderful works of God. These disciples had been told by the Lord Jesus to wait at Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came upon them. We read last week how that occurred as they were all together in an upper room, that the Holy Spirit came. It sounded like a great wind filling the house. And there were, as it was, cloven tongues of fire resting upon the heads of the apostles. But when they started to preach, when they became so excited, so enthusiastic, when they began to preach and speak in these new languages, the languages of the foreign visitors to Jerusalem, we're told that some people mocked. Some people laughed at them and said, "These men are drunk. Listen to the babbling. Listen to the incoherent talk that these men are spouting forth." And when we come to Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, we discover how Peter reacted to those accusations. So let's just read a few verses from chapter 2, verse 14. "But Peter, standing up with the 11, and that shows us that Matthias was now one of the apostles, because Judas Iscariot was dead, and here is Matthias now. So he is recognized as one of the apostles, both by all the rest of the apostles and by Luke, the writer of this book. So here is Peter standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, 'Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." It was still early in the day. "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So here's the first thing that I want to point out here, that Peter spoke. He stood up in the midst of the apostles, in the midst of the disciples, and he spoke boldly. He spoke out with an authority. And this was one of the characteristics that the Holy Spirit brought to these disciples. You know, these men had been frightened before. They had been hiding away from the authorities. They had been uncertain and doubtful about what was going to happen to them. And now that the Lord Jesus Christ had gone away, one might have thought that they would just have broken up and disappeared. But the Holy Spirit came with a power and an authority, which caused these men to be bold, not in their own strength, but in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew that God was with them. They knew that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, had come upon them. Last week we were thinking a little bit about one of the Old Testament characters called Samson. And we discovered in the life of Samson that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he became very strong. Well, that was a picture of what was going to happen when the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, fell upon the apostles at Pentecost. And we see that there was strength there. Not strength that they could carry great gates or do mighty acts of strength and power, but that they could speak boldly, because that was the weapon that the Lord had given for the salvation of men and women, the preaching of the gospel. And not only did he speak boldly, but he spoke with an urgency. He spoke about a judgment that was about to come. And so it was that in a very few years after this, the Romans would come and they would destroy Jerusalem. And that's what Peter was prophesying. He was being shown now that these times of trial and judgment and destruction would come upon Jerusalem. So he stands up and he speaks to the people of Jerusalem and he says that there is a great and notable day of the Lord coming, in which people will need to be saved. They will need to be saved from the judgment that is to come. And that was an immediate judgment of the Roman legions against Jerusalem, and also a spiritual judgment, and the last time. So Peter was already beginning to fulfill that role of leadership and apostleship, of bringing the message of God to his generation. Let's read on, verse 22. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you all, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." So here's the second thing that Peter was able to say. He continues to show who this Lord is. He says that there is a great and notable day of the Lord coming, and now he introduces to them that one who is the Lord. And they might have been a bit surprised, because he wasn't talking here about God, Yahweh, as the unknowable God, the eternal God, the awesome God that inhabits the eternity of heaven. He was speaking about a man. He was speaking about the man Jesus of Nazareth, someone that they knew, someone they had seen, someone who had evidenced his power amongst them with the miracles that he had performed. They all knew who he was talking about, because Jesus had performed these miracles in Jerusalem at the feast when these people were all there in the city. And he is very explicit. He says, you killed him. You killed the one who is God. You killed the one who is the Lord. You, by your wicked hands, took and crucified and slew the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, don't think that that wasn't according to the plan of God. Because the determinate counsel of God, the foreknowledge of God, knew that that's exactly what you would do. And this is the unfolding of a great plan. You did wickedly, but God was accomplishing by your wickedness the salvation of his church and people. Furthermore, he says, this Jesus who you slew is no longer dead. This Jesus whom you crucified is now alive. He is risen from the dead. And Peter proves this also from the Old Testament scriptures. Not only had he shown that the apostolic gift of the Holy Spirit was from the Old Testament scriptures in Joel, but now he speaks also of David. And it shows us the way in which the apostles were being equipped by the Holy Spirit to take the Old Testament scriptures and unfold them and interpret them and preach them and bring the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ to life on the basis and authority of the Old Testament teachings. And he goes on to prove from the scriptures that the Lord Jesus Christ was foretold by David, the king, the greatest king that Israel had had until that time. So let's read on, verse 25. For David speaketh concerning him, that is, concerning the Lord Jesus. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. What Peter is saying here is that, look, this isn't speaking about David in the Old Testament. David is speaking about the Lord Jesus, one who was yet to come, one who has come, whom you crucified, but now is risen again. So he goes on in verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was the son of David, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. The disciples, the apostles, those who are now preaching the gospel in these foreign languages, we are all the witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. David wasn't speaking of himself. Peter is referring here to Psalm 16, but he spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. This Jesus had been raised from the dead by God, and he is alive today. And Peter is using the testimony of the Old Testament to prove that the Jews had they had eyes to see, would have known that this was Jesus the Messiah. Not only is he ascended up into heaven, but there he has been placed in that position of majesty and glory. And he is now in heaven, glorified by the Father. So in verse 36 we read, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Can you imagine what these men must have been thinking in Jerusalem when they heard this message given to them? The one that we crucified is God. The one that we crucified and slew, the one that we killed, is the one who is going to come in judgment again against us. Jesus, the crucified one, was made Lord and Christ. The only one who could save you was the one that you had mocked and killed, was the one that you had treated so terribly. The one that you had said, away with this man, we will not have this man to reign, to rule over us. And now what? He is ruling over you. He is reigning over you. And he is holding you accountable for the things that you have done to him. The apostles were bold. The apostles were knowledgeable about the Bible. The Old Testament scriptures suddenly became alive to them because they realized these were all speaking about Jesus. And at once, when Peter stood up amongst the Jews of his day, the first message he had for them was the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected, ascended into glory, and coming again in judgment. And they proved from the scripture that this Jesus had to die and had to rise again because David had prophesied it all those years before. And they showed the guilt of those who had sinned against God, those who had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. He showed that they were sinners before the holiness of God. And you know, all that Peter did there that day when he stood up in Jerusalem, in this sermon that he preached, is what all real preachers do. They come with the power of the Holy Spirit, with a boldness and a knowledge of the gospel, to declare to men the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior of sinners, to prove from Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ had to die and had to rise again, and to show the guilt of those who are sinners before a holy God who must give account of their sin and who will only ever find salvation in Jesus Christ. So I trust that we'll be able to think about the message of Peter and this sermon from the second chapter of Acts and realize that this is the same pattern that all true preachers use today in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.